Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. Here's Rick Uccino and SP3
on the Believe Podcast Network.
Well, you're half right, Mr. Announcer Man. Rick Uccino in here on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. A good Tuesday morning to everybody out there. Appreciate you guys tuning in, whether it be on the YouTube channel. If you're there, please hit subscribe. Hit the thumbs up button. You have no idea how much that really helps drive our audience up and gets everybody to the channel. SP3 has another very well-earned vacation day off. He's going to be off the rest of this week. But joining me, I cast a wide net out on social media, asking for people to step up to the plate to see if they could fill the big shoes of SP3. And Trey Downey has answered the call. Trey, welcome to the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. Tell the fine folks about yourself.
Thanks for having me, Rick. It's a great honor to be here. Yeah, lifelong.
Don't kiss my ass. You don't have to laugh at me.
lifelong pro wrestling fan. I've been in the media game for years now. Hosted radio, produced radio, had multiple pro wrestling podcasts down the road, hosted some with iHeartMedia down in Tampa and in Orlando. Now hosting some other podcasts covering the NFL, and I'm also with the Motor Racing Network. But pro wrestling's my passion, man. I'm ready to bring it. Love what you and SP3 do, and hopefully I can fill those shoes this week.
So you are a fellow iHeartMedia brother, huh?
Former.
Okay, yes, so you're no longer with iHeartMedia.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
well, you're on the iHeartRadio app today.
Yes.
And anywhere else podcasts are available. Appreciate you stepping in and helping me fill out this show here today. Again, SP3 is going to be off the rest of the week, but he will be back next Monday here with me. Trey, we got a lot to get into. We have new Raw Tag Team Champions. We will talk about that. We have a challenge of sorts that has been issued to a WWE Hall of Famer. We have a new women's tag team. Jesus. All right. I may go on a tangent about that one. Since the last time that we've actually had to do this show without a pay-per-view mixed in, because there was so much to talk about on Revolution for Monday's show that me and Romeo, who filled in for SP3, didn't have time to get into Ricochet winning the Intercontinental Championship. We're going to talk about that and what his WrestleMania plans could be. And we have an NXT Championship match tonight on NXT Roadblock that I'm not 100% certain Bron Breakker is going to retain that championship. Allow me to explain. But first things first, Trey, you're a football guy. It's still sad that the season is over. I'm still not over the Bengals Super Bowl loss, but it's one of the best weeks in all of college sports. It's championship week or champ week. When did it become champ week? I don't know. But college basketball, it's full steam ahead. We're getting closer to the NBA playoffs, and Bet Online is the place for you. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, Bet Online, the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. Head on over to the website, use your mobile devices, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. That is BLEAV. And it's not just basketball. Bet Online is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, the best in the business, sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Bet Online, your number one online wagering destination, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. Bet Online, where the game starts. And we are actually going to start at the end. The end meaning Monday Night Raw last night. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, they were unsuccessful in capturing the Raw Tag Team Championships. And that means that both men were kind of on this downward spiral. We haven't seen Seth Rollins look that dazed and confused since Becky Lynch first announced her pregnancy. Kevin Owens was distraught for a little bit, but then he told Kevin, Patrick, that he's got this master plan and he knows how he's going to get to WrestleMania. And all of a sudden, people's minds start turning. Oh, boy, here we go, because we've been hearing the rumors for weeks now. It's on again, off again with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Could he possibly be coming back for a match? What? Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling at 57 years old? That's about as likely, I would say, as Vince McMahon wrestling at 76 years old, which was also reported to be happening, but that doesn't look like that's going to be the case either. Kevin Owens goes on this long diatribe and calls out every wrestling legend from the state of Texas outside of The Undertaker. And then he finally lays down the challenge for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come on the KO show at WrestleMania. Mm. Not exactly as sexy as a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. I'm a little confused why they don't just advertise the match, Trey, because regardless of, okay, look, here's the thing. It's going to be the same thing no matter what. It's going to be the same thing. A match with Stone Cold Steve Austin or a confrontation with Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to play out the exact same way. The only difference is there's going to be a three count in a match. That's it. Austin actually has to get on the ground and cover Kevin Owens, and that's it. It's going to be a couple of punches. It might be him jumping on him, doing the punch, stomping a mud hole in his ass in the corner. He flips him off. He gives him a stunner, and he's going to drink some beer. That's exactly what's going to happen if there's a confrontation at WrestleMania. So why not just go ahead and advertise that there's a match and get people talking? Because it's going to be the same thing no matter what.
I think that's on Steve, to be completely honest, because he hasn't come back for a match since that WrestleMania 19 match against The Rock. He's done these kind of things numerous times. WrestleMania 21, he was on Piper's Pit. We've seen him stun people the last time WrestleMania was in Dallas. He, Stone Cold, Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, they all came out there and at the end of the New Day and League of Nations match and got physical there. So yeah. I think the issue is here is, if you advertise a match and you just end up getting a 2-minute thing, I think people are going to be disappointed, because I think Steve has said in the past that if he comes back for a match, he doesn't want to let himself or let fans down and wants to have an actual match. And I think if you advertise it as that and it's just a 2-minute thing, I think people are going to be disappointed. And I think the reason that you might feel let down right now, the reason I kind of feel let down right now, is the reports that were out there, and they were credible reports, that Steve was actually going to wrestle in a match at WrestleMania. And now that doesn't appear to be the case. But I will say this. We, at the end of the show, after Stone Cold made the challenge, or after KO made the challenge to Stone Cold, Corey Graves on commentary was making comments that it has been 19 years. And as I said, it hasn't been 19 years since Stone Cold has been a part of a segment at WrestleMania. So my only thought is maybe the initial challenge from KO is Stone Cold come on the KO show. And then maybe we see over the next 3 or 4 weeks that Stone Cold says, screw that, we're wrestling at WrestleMania. That's my hope as to what happens. And maybe WWE still has hopes of convincing him of that. And that's why Graves dropped that commentary line at the end of the night.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? The reports were never that Stone Cold was locked in for the match. The reports were that WWE was making overtures to get Stone Cold into a match, but they were at least confident enough that he was going to be on the show that they could start this whole Kevin Owens against the state of Texas, you know, routine, because that's how they decided to pull Stone Cold Steve Austin into it. Mm-hmm. And look, it was also kind of a little bit of a, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really liked the whole build where Kevin Owens is just crapping on the state of Texas every week, but in him just flat out calling out Stone Cold. Yeah, now it has the reason to bring Stone Cold into it, but I still don't know how I feel about it. It just seems all very anticlimactic. I would have rather him just honestly just kept crapping on the state of Texas until we just heard the broken glass, to be completely honest for you. But they have to start advertising that Stone Cold is going to be at WrestleMania. Otherwise, it completely defeats the purpose of bringing him in, because you're bringing him in to sell tickets. That's why. The only thing that I can think of, and to your point, I understand what you're talking about. If they come in and just say it's a 2-minute thing, people are going to be disappointed. I think people also have to be realistic. He's 57. He hasn't wrestled in 20 years. He's got shot knees, bad back, bad neck, all of it, right? He's kept himself in good shape. All right. He's done physical, you know, movies and stunts and things like that. So he still can take a bump, I'm sure. But Stone Cold Steve Austin, 57 years old, is not going to come in and do any like 8 to 10 to 12 minute 5-star classic. It's just not going to happen. And I think people do understand that, to the point where the mainstream audience, maybe the hardcore fans, would be a little ticked off if it was a 2-minute thing. But the casuals, man, the people who go to WrestleMania, they'd be happy just hearing the glass shatter and watching Stone Cold stun somebody. I think you generate more headlines and more buzz if you say it is a match. And the only thing that I can think of is Steve Austin doesn't want to do a match for some reason, whether or not it's just like he doesn't want to do a glorified confrontation that turns into a match for his own record's sake, or he doesn't want to take a bump, or whatever his reasoning is. He's got to be the thing. He's got to be the guy who's holding it up right now. For whatever reason, they cannot convince him to just say, hey, just let us ring the bell and you have a 3 count in this, because again, it's not going to be, the match is not going to be much different from what any kind of physical confrontation with Kevin Owens is going to be at WrestleMania.
I just think that, as I said, he's in the position where he can have it be whatever he wants to be. And right. He's the only guy. Shawn Michaels looked like he was going to join Stone Cold as the guy who, after their retirement match, never came back for an actual match, but he did for that Saudi show a couple of years ago. But
Stone Cold was bad.
Not by any of Shawn's doing. I mean, Shawn hadn't wrestled in like 10 years and he was still the best performer in that match. I mean, it wasn't his fault that Triple H tore his pec 2 minutes in, and then you're dealing with a shot taker and a shot Kane who can't even be bothered to bend over and pick his mask back up and put it on. I mean, that was what it was. And Shawn Michaels, in my opinion, is the absolute GOAT. So it kind of kills me that was Shawn's thing. And I still will never forgive WWE for a couple years ago at SummerSlam teasing, giving us Dolph Ziggler and Shawn Michaels and giving us Goldberg instead. I will disagree with you on the fact that Stone Cold couldn't go out there and put on an 8 to 10 minute match. Look at what Sting has been doing. 62-year-old Sting has been doing recently in AEW. Now, Bill Goldberg is not my cup of tea anymore, but if Bill Goldberg can get out there and put on a 6 to 7 minute match with Roman Reigns, I feel like something that Stone Cold could put on in 8 to 10 minutes with Kevin Owens could be just as good as what Goldberg has, if not better than what Goldberg has done over the past few years. Obviously, Stone Cold on an in-ring level has been held to a much higher standard than what Goldberg is, but I think this is entirely up to Steve. And I'll say this, but like I said, based on the commentary, I think it is still up in the air. And I don't think that the casual fans are, they see the name Stone Cold and they're going to be excited, but how many people are going to, do you really think that many more people are going to go on Ticketmaster tomorrow morning and buy a ticket to WrestleMania Saturday night, as they've already flashed that it's a Saturday night thing? Maybe they're struggling with tickets on Saturday more than Sunday, but are going to go on Ticketmaster or where at SeatGeek, wherever they're selling WrestleMania tickets, and buy it just because Stone Cold is in that. I want to see what happens. I think that when I initially heard the KO the Texas thing, I thought that it was going to be a KO show with Stone Cold. Like, that was my initial expectation. But then the reports, I'm kind of like, wow, is Steve actually going to do a match? And I think that that's where the hardcore wrestling fans are going to be over the next week or so after this happened, because we kind of got our hopes up. And that's not the fault of Sean Ross Sapp, who went out there and reported on the information that he was given. And I don't think WWE would have started teasing it if they didn't think. And I don't think that Sean would have gotten that information if WWE didn't think he was going to be in a match. So right. It is a little bit of a letdown, but I'm still hopeful that we see it happen as a match, because I think WWE left that door open tonight.
And here's where I'll counter back at you talking about Stone Cold possibly going 8-10 minutes. I would say yes if he's just taking an obscene amount of heat from Kevin Owens and he's willing to let Kevin Owens get some offense in. But the difference between, say, Goldberg or who was the other person?
Sting.
Sting, right? Here's the difference between that. If Stone Cold still has not made up his mind that he's going to put on a match, he's got to do it quickly, because now he's got, 3 weeks to start training, to start getting into ring shape. Like I said, he's kept himself in good shape. I've watched the Broken Skull sessions. All right. I see the pythons. All right. He's still got the forearms. Okay. He's still relatively jacked. That ain't in ring shape. That's not in ring shape. And he goes out there. It's his first match in 20 years. Sure, it'll be like riding a bike, but man, he's going to be out there for 3 minutes and he's probably going to be blown up, to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that would be my concern. Now, that doesn't take anything away from Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's still a Hall of Famer. He's still one of the greatest of all time. I'm just saying, ring rust is a real thing. And when it's 20 years and you're 57 and you haven't trained and you're doing this as a last minute thing, 5 minutes is the absolute max that you would want to go in that situation.
Well, maybe it's a situation of, I don't think if it was on the table, if Steve was even considering wrestling a match, I don't think that as part of that decision, I don't think he's waited to start training. I think if he was considering it, he's been training for a while, and maybe it's a case of that's kind of the agreement he came with to WWE as to leave it open to see if, you know, we get 2 weeks away from Mania and how confident he is in, because he is, as I said, he's been super protective over what that last match was against The Rock. And we've heard in years afterwards on Something to Wrestle and then other podcasts, you know, the backstory of what Steve was going through, health issues that weekend. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. If it ultimately ends up being a KO show, I mean, that's something that we could see on like a Legends Night Raw, to be completely honest. I mean, that's not necessarily a WrestleMania moment. I'm glad KO gets the spot with Stone Cold. And we haven't even seen any interaction with the two on screen. Stone Cold's been back on WWE TV multiple times since KO has started using the stunner. A couple of years ago, I think it was Legends Night or something, I was there in Tampa and Stone Cold was part of the show. It was right after KO started using the stunner. I'm like, that's the centerpiece of this show. Stone Cold's going to kind of pass the torch to KO. Sure. And it never happened. And we've heard that KO called Stone Cold, that he was supportive of him using the stunner. So there's definitely backstory there that we can dig into as this story rolls around for the next, 26 days from WrestleMania Saturday? Day,
25 as of 25, Tuesday today. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you in the sense that Stone Cold is a pro. And if there was even, you know, the thought, if there's just a 1% chance, yeah, he's probably been doing something to try to get ready. And maybe that is exactly what you said. As he laid out, he's like, look, I'll give it a shot. I'll start running the ropes, hitting, you know, taking some bumps, do this kind of thing. Not many bumps left on his bump card. Maybe he still thinks it's all the way full up. But here's the other thing that just kind of hit me. Stone Cold is the ultimate old school pros pro guy. Maybe the hangup is that he doesn't want to go over. Maybe that is the hangup. Like, look, he went out on his back and that's the way you think he should go. Maybe he doesn't want to come in and beat Kevin Owens. So maybe the only way he's going to agree to a match is if KO wins the damn thing.
Be absolutely wild to see KO beat
Stone Cold at WrestleMania. But I mean, if anybody on the current WWE roster is going to be given that honor, I mean, that's about a as perfect of a guy as you can get it. And if you beat Stone Cold in Dallas at WrestleMania, you want to talk about some heat and a heel you can build off of after Mania, you'd have it.
It would definitely somewhat make up for dropping the Universal Championship to Bill Goldberg ahead of what should have been a main event match with Chris Jericho.
Couldn't agree with you more.
It's time to answer the five count on the Believe Podcast Network.
All right, let's go back to the beginning here. I feel like we're in the middle of a Quentin Tarantino film. We're just bouncing all over the place from what happened on Monday Night Raw. But we open things up with a pretty rock solid promo segment that lasts about 15 minutes. And then we got one of the best triple threat tag team matches. Forget the extra stuff. One of the best tag team matches I've seen out of WWE in quite some time. They gave Alpha Academy, RK-Bro, and Rollins and KO 30 plus minutes to just work absolute magic with one another. They've only been tagging for a little bit here, Trey, but KO and Seth Rollins work so incredibly well together. They already have like great double team moves. The finish that they set up with themselves with the buckle bomb into the stunner, into the curb stomp is so smooth and so clean. And it's just so brilliant the way that they've set that up. And I love the finish of this where it was them who won the match. They had it beat. And then Riddle comes in, tosses out Seth Rollins. Orton's able to get the hooks in on KO and keep them out of the ring. And then the three count happens. And RK-Bro wins the tag team championships for the second time. I saw your tweet, good sir. You were not expecting this to go down. Number one question here on the five count. How surprised were you that RK-Bro won the Raw Tag Team Championships last night?
They, out of any of the three teams that could have won, they were probably the most surprising to me because KO and Rollins, I thought it was a possibility just because of the reports that were coming out that both of their, what we thought would be their WrestleMania scenarios were kind of up in the air. So I thought, you know, maybe they'll go that route. Or maybe Alpha Academy retains and they do something with the Street Profits at WrestleMania. But no, it's RK-Bro. I thought the path that we were leading to was the breakup of RK-Bro and that we would get that on one of the nights of WrestleMania. And I thought that the end of this feud, I thought that this triple threat could lead to that. And maybe they go down the route of the Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and do the tag champs against each other at WrestleMania. Maybe that's still possible. But I'm definitely surprised because I think that Orton Riddle has a lot more cachet to WrestleMania than RK-Bro against the Street Profits, even though the match they had at day one was pretty solid, even though it wasn't given a lot of time. That seems like the path they might be going down now. And it's just, it's a little odd to see Randy in that kind of spot, because I thought a couple months ago, if you would have asked me what, if they weren't going to break them up, what was the match going to be at WrestleMania? It was going to be them against Seth and KO. And then we just saw that a couple of weeks ago on Raw. And so it's just an interesting thing, because you think, especially with how hot that tag team has been, that that would truly be a marquee match. And while I love the Street Profits, I don't know if that necessarily screams WrestleMania to me.
I think you can look at Randy Orton's promo last night as the reason of why Riddle and Orton is not happening at WrestleMania. Because this team is working. This team is working. They both love it. Orton, I believe him when he says he is having the time of his life right now working with Matt Riddle, alongside Matt Riddle. And I kind of bought into the fact that maybe he kind of put the kibosh on this. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to Vince and said, look, no, I don't, it's not right to break this team up right now. We're too damn good. The crowd's loving it. We're the most overact in the company. And look, if there's anybody who can convince Vince McMahon of something, it would be Randy Orton, who's been around for 20 plus years now. Mm-hmm. That's just me speculating, but I'm reading into that promo that he cut last night as genuine. Like, he's having the time of his life. He wants to keep
tagging with RK Bro. So they're like, all right, we'll put the tag team titles on you and we'll figure out another match for WrestleMania. Street Profits do make a lot of sense, especially after their win last week. Now, granted, that win was not supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. That was an audible after, you know, Montez Ford landed on Randy's shoulder. Thankfully, Randy's not, you know, injured. But that was an audible last week where Randy just said, yeah, cover me, bro, and it's over. So at least they're calling back to that. At least now they have something they can kind of build off of. What I hate about this is that Gable and Otis really have been kind of like the MVPs of Raw for like the last 2 months now.
Yeah.
They are so good. They like Chad Gable is finally getting a moment to shine here. Shooshes and all. Like this guy is he's finally getting something to work with, and that he's being able to show how good he is in the ring, how great he is on the mic, his personality, everything. Otis is this new big beefy, you know, big neck, serious Otis is starting to roll and get over as well. The number one guy. And now all of a sudden they've had the rug pulled out from under him 3 weeks out from WrestleMania. And I'm going, something doesn't sit right with me there. Cause I think they've earned their spot on this card, and maybe they decide to go in with a triple threat. Like taking the tag team titles off of them is one thing, but I think they got to be in the match. I think they've earned that spot. They've earned the right to be in that match. I think if you do RK Bro and the Street Profits and Alpha Academy triple threat match for the Raw Tag Team Championships, I think that honestly right there has a chance to be one of your show stealers. It really does. And I think that's the direction you got to go with your tag team championship match. Alpha Academy deserve to be on the WrestleMania card, and not in some freaking battle royal or anything like that. They deserve to be on the main card to get their a shot at winning back the Raw tag team titles.
Can we talk about the RKO for a second?
Oh my
God. Because that's got to be
Jesus.
That's up there with the Evan Bourne out of the Shooting Star Press. That's up there with the off of the stomp at WrestleMania against Rollins. That's a top fiver. That was the way Orton came backwards to catch him. Just phenomenal. The moonsault from Gable there.
Yeah. There, John Alba said it best on Twitter. There is nobody who has timing better than Randy Orton. He makes it look so effortlessly. Right. And like, it really is. Look, Randy Orton doesn't do much. You know, he's even said it like when he was on the Broken Skull Sessions, they talked about that Evan Bourne, you know, Stone Cold Stunner. He's like, look, I didn't do anything. I just kind of just like popped up and I was like, yeah, there I am. I just kind of like let his head land on my arm. Like, that's all I did. And that's really all he did here, too. But it's the timing of that makes it so difficult to make it look that smooth and to look that cool. Really, all it was Gable just missing a moonsault. And Randy was just like, oh, boop. But he made it look so damn awesome that everybody everybody in the city of Cleveland lost their damn minds. And we were all tweeting like, oh, my freaking God, that RKO. Randy Orton's just that good. He is so good at doing the simple things. It's what makes him great. And people don't often enough appreciate that, I think.
It's just his longevity kind of speaks for itself. Randy's, I mean, it's kind of been an ongoing thing. Motivated Randy Orton is great. Randy Orton, we've gone through lulls, but obviously this tag team with Riddle is working. You never know. Maybe that breakup is going to happen the night after WrestleMania. Maybe they're saving something big for the Raw after WrestleMania. Because wasn't it the Raw after WrestleMania where their feud kind of started last year, or was that Lashley Riddle? It was right around then, right after WrestleMania. They were still in the Thunderdome when the whole Orton and Riddle thing got going. So maybe it's
you're trying to make me remember something from a year out, and really all I remember at that point was like 3 days outside of WrestleMania. That's when all the first releases like really started happening. So that's really all I remember. Plus, I was also jet lagged because I was flying back from your area of Tampa Bay, or excuse me, Tampa, the city of Tampa. That's something I learned when I was there. It's not Tampa Bay. You all hate it when it's called Tampa Bay.
It's true.
WrestleMania will be in Dallas, which will be my first time back in the state of Texas in, oh my God, I think 20 years since I've been. in Dallas, Texas. We talked about Corey Graves a lot, by the way. Had a interview with Corey and Carmella that dropped on the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel yesterday at 3 o'clock. Please go up there, check it out as soon as you're done here with the show. Thumbs up, like it, share it. And by the way, while you're on the channel, subscribe to the Believe in Pro Wrestling Podcast channel. We're about 800 or so subscriptions away from monetization. So we're really trying to drive up those subscriptions. So SP3 and I, and maybe even Trey down the line one day, can start making a little bit of money off of this here show. So we talked about KO. He's going possibly with Stone Cold Steve Austin doing something there. Randy Orton, Matt Riddle, they're the tag team champions. Presumably they will have a match at WrestleMania defending those tag team titles. Alpha Academy up in the air. But there's one guy now who is just left out there like a floating amoeba, directionless, just nowhere to go right now. Where the hell does this leave Seth Rollins, Trey?
If it's not Cody Rhodes, what is it? Because That's the question. I'm wondering if you can help me come up with something here. I'll say this. The reports over the last week from multiple sources have Cody not on WrestleMania anymore. But if it's going to happen, Raw's in Jacksonville next week, Rick. And
yeah,
his recent history in Jacksonville, I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen next week. And I think regardless of what Rollins' WrestleMania plans are, we'll get a better idea of that next Monday. I still think Cody is possible, but maybe that's just because racking my brain, I can't really think of another option right now for Rollins at Mania, they've completely ran away from what happened at the Rumble with Reigns, because
yeah,
I initially had hopes that we would see a full-on triple threat as a callback to what they did at WrestleMania 31.
Sure.
Because that to me is more of a marquee thing and more different than having and more intriguing as far as match outcome than just Brock versus Roman. And especially with the title for title thing, that's another story for a different day. But at this point, I don't think they go back in that direction. Cody, I don't know what else there is.
So I'm scared, man. I'm really scared because there was one guy on Raw tonight outside of Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins who was talking about trying to book his match for WrestleMania.
No way.
Are we going to get Seth Rollins and Omos? Like, is that the play? Is that the backup plan? Is he's just going to mow his way through the lower card and then say, no one can stop me, and then they're going to throw Seth Rollins at Omos, and that's the story that they're going to try to tell at WrestleMania, is how does Seth Rollins tackle the giant? That's the only other thing that I could possibly think of, that they've even shown a hint of being a possibility of somebody who's looking for a one-on-one match. You got Omos, who's begging for an opportunity at WrestleMania, and you have Seth Rollins, who has no other option whatsoever. That, to me, from WWE's mind, seems to be the backup plan. And it scares the hell out of me. I would rather him just be sitting in a chair next to Kevin Owens on the KO show, to be completely honest with you.
I mean, you didn't fully buy the tease of Omos against Commander Aziz there. That's probably going to
be next week on Raw.
Yeah, I'm with
That'll be next week on Raw, and he'll T-bar him. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Commander Aziz hasn't won a match since he was grabbing dudes' dicks in Raw Underground.
So I think that Omos, I think that there's two options for him there. I think that you could go with just having him dominate the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and have him win that. That's kind of the perfect spot for Omos. Or I was thinking before the injury news and he dropped the title at Elimination Chamber, especially with what they were doing with the Hurt Business, I thought Lashley Omos was a possibility. And there were reports that Lashley was still trying to get cleared for the MSG show this past weekend. That didn't happen, clearly, with Austin Theory facing Lesnar, but maybe that's what they're alluding to. I just can't. I can't see Rollins Omos. I just don't. Maybe I'm naive here. I just don't think it makes sense. I don't think it happens. I think Omos's path is either Battle Royal or Lashley, but
yeah, again. I don't think it's Lashley, because I think the last thing I read, unless something has changed, is that Lashley's got a shoulder injury and he's out 4 months. So that's probably, unless they're trying to get him healthy enough that he can compete at WrestleMania and then he'll have surgery afterwards, because they keep playing this concussion protocol thing. Are you going to do concussion protocol storylines with Lashley for 4 months? So yeah. I'm not really sure what's going on there, to be completely honest with you. But man, there's one thing that keeps giving me hope. They keep laying it on, not so subtly, that Cody Rhodes seems to be out there in the WWE universe. They keep dropping these little hints, you know, in promos with Rollins and KO. Like tonight, they're talking about our plans were ruined because of things outside of our control. Like, obviously playing on all the reports that Cody and Austin are bowing out and this, that, and the other thing. You know, dropping the word undeniable every 20 seconds in their promos. They're clearly teasing Cody. But that is a dangerous game to play if you can't deliver. And based off of all the latest reports, unless it is just one massive smokescreen, yeah, man, like, if you can't deliver, that is a dangerous game to play when you have nothing left on the table for Seth Rollins. Nothing. If you couldn't deliver Cody 2 weeks ago, I would have immediately pivoted and start putting Seth Rollins in the world title picture, because I agree with you. That's what they should have done from the get-go. From the second that Roman Reigns had to cheat to beat Seth Rollins to retain his championship, and he didn't even beat Seth Rollins. Rollins won that match via disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been the direction that they were going, is to include Seth Rollins in that match and then have the final full-fledged, full-circle moment of WrestleMania 31 in the main event. That's what they should have done. What I'm afraid that we're going to end up getting is Seth Rollins and Omos. There are a lot of women on the Raw roster right now who are trying to find their way onto the WrestleMania card, and that brings us to number three here on the five count, because WWE, boy, oh boy, they just love remembering that they have women's tag team titles come WrestleMania season, because this is how they decide to get the rest of the women who aren't in the either Raw or SmackDown women's title pictures on the show. And we saw this last week when they randomly decided to have a Team Bad reunion after literally weeks, if not months, of having one tag team in the women's tag team division. Because remember, they split up the other tag team of Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. Who did they beat for the tag team titles? I forget. Rhea and Nikki beat somebody.
I think it wasn't it Shayna and Nia?
Yeah, and then they split. Right. So like yeah. They split and then Nia was like, right. So it's like every champion who's had the belt, they win it and then they're parked on the bench because there's been no other tag teams. And then they form like this makeshift tag team. They take the titles and the previous champs split up. So now it has been Carmella and Queen Zelina's turn to just rot on the pine pony. At least Nikki and Rhea got to watch John Morrison stretch for a few weeks. Like the last time we really saw, until quite recently, until they started this build toward WrestleMania by having Queen Zelina and Carmella lose every match that they're in, which is also the new tradition for the women's champions. This is just lose when they have the damn titles. The last time we saw them was that toga party, the broga party. That was the last time that we saw them until they started building this. So they do the Team Bad reunion. So it was like, well, we got to get Sasha and Naomi on the card. So there we go. There's the match. I would have been fine if they just stopped right there. But now all of a sudden, Trey, we got Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, who after that trios match that we saw last week, oh, now they're besties. Now they're a team, apparently. They face Queen Zelina and Carmella tonight, the only other tag team they have on Raw. So they had to fight the women's tag team champions, win, and they're in at WrestleMania. That's exactly what happened. I have a myriad of questions because of this. Because you remember, like, everybody got excited when Nikki and Rhea finally split, because that meant that Rhea was going to finally be back on her own and they're going to start building her back up as a singles competitor. Yeah, that's not happening, because now she's back in a tag team. You have Liv Morgan
who got a pretty decent push heading into the beginning of WrestleMania season.
Mm-hmm.
Had some really good matches with Becky Lynch. Has flat out told me before in interviews, unless it was with Toni Storm, she didn't want to tag team with anybody ever again in WWE, unless they brought back, you know, any of her friends, which they could have brought back one of them. We just saw her at the Royal Rumble. They could have brought her back. They decided not to go that route. So now they have shoehorned, seemingly against her will, Liv Morgan into another tag team now with Rhea Ripley, who was in a tag team with Nikki A.S.H. just a month and a half ago. Seemed like she was going to get a singles run. Has some really good matches with Bianca Belair. Got to show out in the Elimination Chamber. Now she's back in a tag team going after the women's tag team. What the hell are we doing, Trey?
It's just a to get those two on the card.
I because know.
Look at the there's not even enough women on the roster now to do the women's battle royal. So I don't even think that we're getting that this year.
Happening. Nope.
Let's be honest. The women's
tag team title. I think I'm about to cut you off and say exactly what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. The women's tag team title match is replacing the women's battle royal.
No, you're not even, that's not even what I was going to say, which you're right. You're right about that statement, but the women's tag team titles are completely unnecessary. To me, they were unnecessary from the beginning. They're just, they don't have enough women on the roster to build a solid roster of tag teams. And they won't keep these, but they won't keep these teams together long enough for that to happen. To me, if you were going to introduce another women's title, the best route to go was to introduce a mid-card women's title, a women's intercontinental title.
Yep.
Because as we've seen over, even since the women's revolution started, WWE struggles to book the women's division if it is not the title match. Mm-hmm. We just don't see any of these other women's feuds. We got it a little bit with Bianca and Doudrop. That was a solid one. They tried to do something with Eva Marie and Alexa Bliss, who Alexa Bliss comes back and now she's gone again.
Three weeks now. By the way, she's from Ohio. Couldn't even get her in Columbus in her hometown. Didn't even try to put her on the Cleveland show either.
Yeah. Asuka is apparently cleared from injury she's not being used either. I mean, who knows when Bayley's going to be ready, but I just think that the women's tag team titles are unnecessary because it's hard to get invested in any of this because none of these teams seem like they're a long-term thing. It was interesting when Bayley and Sasha had their Thunderdome run because they were just simply the most entertaining thing on the show, but it also made it more entertaining when they were also used on NXT, and then they decided to make an NXT version of the same titles as well, which makes no sense to me. I think that WWE would get a ton of flack if they just got rid of the titles. But right. I think that a women's intercontinental title would be so much more useful for this women's division than the tag titles.
Right. And I agree with you on that. It is kind of a shame to see what the tag team titles have become, because look, they do mean a lot to the women in the locker room. It's just clearly that they don't mean a damn thing to WWE creative unless they're like, oh, we have all these women that we have to get on the card, so let's throw them into this women's tag team title match. You know what it would have been a lot better? And this is just me thinking off the top of my head, right? Who's the next challenger for Bianca Belair after she presumably beats Becky Lynch at WrestleMania? Do you have one?
No,
you don't. You know what AEW does so well? They build up the next challenger at the same time that there's a title feud going on. So what is stopping WWE from having, like, they're probably not going to do a ladder match this close to Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank's like, you know, 2 or 3 months after WrestleMania. So they're probably not going to do a ladder match at WrestleMania. But what would be the problem of having a gauntlet match or a six-pack challenge or something involving Rhea, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Nikki A.S.H., and Doudrop, and then you could build the intrigue of having a mystery competitor at WrestleMania. Then you could have your shock return of Asuka or Bayley if she's healthy. And then you could actually book your number one contender to win off of that. And then Bianca wins So all of a sudden now, presumably, you can give Rhea Ripley the win in the number one contenders match. You have Bianca get her redemption against Becky Lynch. And now, look what you've done. You've actually set up something that makes sense, that has been earned in the ring to move forward after WrestleMania. We don't have this situation where you have Becky Lynch coming off the biggest win of her career, and her first opponent is a woman who has done nothing but walk down a ramp for 3 months.
By the way, she might be ready to return as well.
She might be as well, yes, but I don't think she's going to, no offense to Lacey Evans, she's not going to get the kind of pop that Bayley or Asuka would at WrestleMania. There's no reason why you couldn't do something involving those six women to set up your next challenger for the Raw Women's Championship, or even do three from each brand. Get Xia Li and whomever on this show. You could have just left it as Team Bad versus Queen Zelina and Carmella as your women's tag team title match, and then put another women's match on the card. Just adding a bunch of random makeshift tag teams that aren't even going to be together come April 4th is just lazy, and it's bad booking, in my opinion.
I'm with you. Your suggestion makes infinitely more sense. And to me, that's, I like Money in the Bank as a pay-per-view, but sometimes I miss it, as when it had that stretch of 5-6 years as being a WrestleMania attraction. Yeah. Yep. It really gave us something else to look at WrestleMania. And I wouldn't mind seeing that, or getting rid of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view and that going back to WrestleMania, or since they're not using it as number one content as a number one contender device anymore, getting rid of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and making that a number one contender match at Mania.
See, that's something that WWE gets in. Like they go down this rabbit hole with something where it's like, they make it so they Urkel it. Right. Mm-hmm. They get something that's so successful as a niche little thing, and then they decide to focus on it and make it its own show, and they kill it.
Yep.
If you don't understand Urkeling it, just Google it, kids. All right. Like, I don't have time to sit here and explain to you the entire arc of Family Matters. All right. I just don't have time to do it right now. I also have a myriad of other questions. Like, why the hell was Carmella, like, why did she just take herself out of this match so she could flirt with her own fiance? Like, who the hell would actually do that? And are we really already planting the seeds for Queen Zelina and Carmella to split after WrestleMania? Of course we are, because nothing matters in this division. I guarantee you somebody's going to win this match. It's probably going to be Sasha and Naomi. And then they're not going to have anybody to defend the titles against, because nobody else is in this match, which, by the way, it's going to be Natalya and somebody else teaming up to be added as the fourth team in this match. None of these teams that are going to lose at WrestleMania night two, WrestleMania Sunday, are going to be teams the next day. They're just not. And it pisses me off. Let's move on to number four here on the five count. Start rapid firing these, as we're already into 46 minutes on this half hour podcast. Ricochet, much to my surprise and glee on Friday, and this is something that we haven't had a chance to get into on the show, defeated Sami Zayn to win the Intercontinental Championship. And I'm not saying that I was happy that Sami lost, because I am a huge Sami Zayn guy. And him as Intercontinental Champion just makes a ton of sense, and he does a great job with it. I was a proponent of Sammy and Johnny Knoxville did not need the Intercontinental Championship involved. It made a ton more sense for Johnny Knoxville to cost Sami Zayn the IC title than to go after the IC title. Now we don't have the David Arquette on the table. Everything's good. Sammy and Johnny Knoxville can do whatever the hell that they can do at WrestleMania, and that's cool. Now the question becomes, how do we get the Intercontinental Championship on WrestleMania? Which, by the way, this is something I've said a million times on this show, would be the first time that the IC title has been defended on a pay-per-view since last WrestleMania. So, Trey, what's the match for Ricochet at WrestleMania? Because I'm looking at the SmackDown roster, which is a little thin at the moment, and I'm going, oh boy. What is the match for Ricochet at WrestleMania?
There's not a singles match there. I think that I still think inserting him back into the Zayn and Knoxville thing is the way to go. I thought from the beginning, the best way for the Zayn Knoxville thing to go, multi-man ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. It Knoxville's not going to win. In a ladder match, you give Johnny Knoxville the chance to do what he's most known for, a crazy stunt. I still think that's the way to go. If that's not it, I honestly can't think of a logical match for Ricochet. Maybe it's still a multi-man ladder match. Maybe it's him against Big E, Kofi, Sheamus, and Ridge Holland, something like that. But I still think that I think it would make the Knoxville Zane thing more intriguing to go that route. That's still what I would do.
See, and this is where WWE flying by the seat of their pants, this is where things come back and bite them, right? Because Sheamus, as a guy who has said in a myriad of interviews that he wants the Intercontinental Championship so he can complete the Grand Slam, that's something that he covets. So Ricochet having it and Sheamus wanting it is an easy story that they could do heading into WrestleMania for a one-on-one match. But Ricochet beat Sheamus several times to earn the Intercontinental title opportunity. So you've already spent that option. To which case now, yeah, the only thing that you can do is a multi-man match. Whether that's with all three members of the New Day, but here's the problem. You also need a SmackDown tag team match because the Usos aren't just going to be there to look pretty standing next to Roman Reigns. They're going to defend the titles, whether that's against Nakamura and Boogs because they kind of laid the groundwork there, or we're going to get New Day, Usos 487, which I'm not going to complain about because they're always really, really good matches. So I don't care if that's the way you want to go. That's fine. But then that takes E and Kofi and presumably Xavier Woods, who is reportedly healthy, but not back on television, which is odd, off the table as well. In which case, now I'm starting to sweat. Now I'm starting to go, okay, unless you're just going to do Ricochet and Madcap Moss for the Intercontinental Championship, I don't know what you do at this point. But and the more people you throw on other matches, the less options you have for a multi-man match. I think the option that I would go with is a triple threat between Sheamus, Nakamura, and Ricochet, just to give Nakamura a shot to get his IC title back and to give Sheamus that option of winning the IC title. But you just put it on Ricochet. He's presumably your number two babyface behind Drew McIntyre right now on SmackDown, as evident by the booking last Friday. He better retain it. And please, just for the love of God, put the, I don't care what it is, the Intercontinental Championship should be defended on a pay-per-view. Do not go a full year without doing that. Please, for the love of God. Last but not least, here on the Five Count, Trey, we saw the Raw debut last night of Bron Breakker. Tag team match with Tommaso Ciampa. They defeated the Dirty Dogs. Bron Breakker is going to defend his NXT championship tonight against two men that were involved in that match in Dolph Ziggler and his partner last night in Tommaso Ciampa. Based off of what we saw last night, he did win that match clean as a sheet over Dolph Ziggler. How confident are you that Bron Breakker retains his NXT championship at Roadblock tonight?
The only way that I don't think he does is if Ziggler pins Ciampa and then you go Ziggler Breakker one-on-one at Stand and Deliver. Otherwise, I think that, I mean, I'm surprised that this is happening at Roadblock. I thought they were setting up Breakker and Ziggler for Stand and Deliver to try and fill seats in their first arena show since before the pandemic for NXT. I don't see him dropping it in this fashion, because I think he's going to be featured in a big way on Stand and Deliver, because I don't see a spot for him on WrestleMania right now. So I think that's the way that they go. And it was cool seeing Breakker on Raw. I just wish that his first appearance on the main roster would have been a bigger deal, but I do think that he retains, and maybe we see him against Gunther. Yes. I hope that sounded painful coming out of my mouth, just because I'm still,
Gunta.
He's still Walter to me.
I am putting this at about 75% sure he retains, but I was 100% until last night, because last night Bron Breakker was presented as a guy who's coming up. He just was. He had the entrance. He already had the CGI graphics painted above. He was touted as a big deal. He won the match clean as a sheet. He was presented as a star. And I think that was Vince McMahon giving him the test of, all right, are you ready?
And from an in-ring standpoint, from a presence standpoint, he was ready. Where I think he lacked was the crowd reaction, because the casuals have no idea who the hell this guy is. And that's why I actually like this. And this has been one of my favorite parts about NXT and Raw working together, is even guys like Tommaso Ciampa, who have been in NXT for a long time, they're getting the cup of coffee with WWE. So people kind of know who they are. They're getting this introductory phase out of the way before it's, oh, screw you, it's sink or swim. All right, now it's been 5 weeks, you're on Raw, they're not reacting to you. All right, you're out, which is what we've seen happen to countless NXT stars that have come up. So I like this. They're giving him a cup of coffee here. Look, the guy's got everything. He's a blue chip prospect, and I think he's ready for Monday Night Raw at this point. I think it would happen exactly the way you say. I think maybe Breaker has Ciampa beat tonight, and we get exactly what we saw out of Matt Riddle, where Ziggler tosses Breaker out of the ring and he pins him and he wins the championship, because I think they are setting him up to come up to Raw sooner rather than later. So they got to take the title off of him in a way that protects him. And then you could do some kind of angle at Stand and Deliver to keep the belt off of him. And then he shows up on Raw on the night after Monday, and now he's there. Where I think it would help him, by the way, on the main roster, can we just call him Rex Steiner, please? Like, I'm used to the Bron Breakker name now, but I am telling you, if you just let people in on the secret that this guy is a Steiner, he will get over quicker on the main roster. You have to give people a reason to invest in him. Because I guarantee you, there were so many people in that crowd in Cleveland who don't watch NXT, who are sitting there going, why is this guy dressed like Scott Steiner, and why does he look like Rick Steiner, or vice versa? Why is he barking at me? Why are they doing that?
And why is there sirens in his music? I mean,
exactly.
It's all there. Just call him by the name.
He looks like they took DNA from Rick and Scott and built this kid in a lab. All right, like he's freaking Judge Dredd. That's what he looks like. Okay, just call him Rex Steiner. Seriously, he could be the next Randy Orton, in a sense that you have this young legacy guy that the audience will get behind if you just lean into his lineage, and he'd be a world champion by the end of the year, which is insane because he's only been wrestling for like 8 months. They're not doing him any favors by calling him Bron Breakker on the main roster. I think they got to anoint him as Rex Steiner and just go with it, and the audience will go along with it. But I'm going to say 25% chance that Dolph Ziggler wins the belt tonight. And it's going to happen. He's going to pin Ciampa. If that happens, Bron Breakker, Rex Steiner, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's coming up. End of story. Bob's your uncle. It's done. I would be surprised if he's still in NXT in April. I think Vince is liking what he's seeing, and he's going to bring him up. Whether that's a good decision or a bad decision, that's a conversation for another day. We ain't going to get into it now. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow as I rip my headphone cords out here, Trey. So we'll go ahead and start wrapping up here. We do appreciate everybody who has tuned in to all 57 minutes of this half hour podcast. Again, Trey, let the fine folks know where they can find your work, sir.
You can follow me on Twitter at TD Experience. I post all of my stuff on there. You can also listen to me on the Bucks Nation podcast, as well as the Motor Racing Network.
Can't wait to see Gronk and Stripes next year. It's gonna be interesting. He's either gonna retire or he's coming to Cincinnati because he wants to play with Joe Burrow. Reportedly, that's what everybody wants to do. They all of a sudden they want to come to Cincinnati. It's amazing what a good quarterback can do for your franchise. I love it. I can't wait till legal tampering starts. It's gonna be fantastic. It's gonna be fan freaking tastic. Trey, appreciate you, sir. We got two more of these to go this week, so let's hope to give us something to talk about on NXT tonight.
We'll be back
with you guys 7 a.m. when tomorrow's show drops. Again, hit the like button, hit the share, hit the subscribe, hit up SP3 on Twitter, True Heel SP3, telling me to enjoy his vacation. We're holding it down for him until he comes back. You have been listening to the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.